You know, it's interesting because, you know, with our dental training, a lot of these things are not the kind of things we learn in dental school. You know, we learn how to prep the tooth for a crown, how to do perio-endo. But, you know, I imagine dentists that are in practice, they don't really know how to approach these decisions. And a lot of times, I guess they just make these decisions based on gut feelings and not really knowing how to evaluate these things scientifically. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, because they're so busy trying to be the best clinical dentist that they can be.
Right, exactly.
And they're working day in, day out. At the end of the day, they've got a lot of administrative duties. There's always stuff happening.
But it's not only that, but I think they just don't have the background or they don't know the principles that they need to know to make some of these like true business decisions, and they do them and they fake it or they do it just from their gut, but they really are not doing it in a scientific way or the proper way, I should say. So that's actually a really good point there.
Right, and that would be why a consultant might be able to help that practice.
Right.
You have staffing issues. The mm-hmm. biggest problem in dentistry today is building and keeping a talented and motivated and a customer service oriented, friendly staff. A couple of years ago, I did a tape with Rich where we talked about 10 strategies that successful practices use to retain excellent staff and how you can build on that great team.
Right.
I think that oftentimes a consultant can act as a facilitator or a bridge sort of between the doctor and the staff to encourage better communication. And this can help to take the emotion out of staff meetings that have the potential to become contentious or divisive. There's also a lot of new issues out there regarding employment, hiring and firing. There's lots of lawsuits that you read about just waiting to happen if the dentist isn't careful about things like discrimination and harassment. So I got to tell you, it's not your father's Oldsmobile anymore. It's a very
right.
tricky landscape.
No question.
To navigate.
Yeah.
Sometimes I see this a lot, where the doctor is burned out. A lot of people go into dentistry, they're in their early 20s. 20 years later, they're 45, 46 years old, they're doing the same old thing. They're feeling tired, unmotivated. Maybe they're really not happy. I see this a lot. And so here is a situation where a consultant might be able to help that doctor articulate and reexamine a vision for the practice going forward, because it's difficult for that doctor to see the forest through the trees because he doesn't have the luxury of time to be able to see what's going on when you're living on the trenches every day. So here's where somebody could really, as an outside observer, be able to really analyze it and see if they could be able to find out how you could get the energy back into your life. I'll tell you a last thing that I could just very briefly touch on.
Sure.
Because it's becoming a bigger and bigger part of my business is and where a consultant can really be helpful is helping with practice transitions. And there are two kinds. They're sort of very different. So, very briefly, one situation is an outright sale when a practice has been sold or is about to be sold and the senior doctor is leaving and the young doctor is entering. And here the transfer of goodwill is so important because, Dave, you never get that second chance to make a great first impression.
No question about it.
Many
yep.
times, I've been called in after the fact where the goodwill wasn't properly transferred or the staff members were not informed or consulted or the proper letters and calls weren't made. If you do this right, you should be able to get about a 95% retention rate. So you get a really good return on your investment. But if it's not done correctly and, the horse is sort of already out of the barn, the purchasing doctor does not get what he or she paid for.
And if that does happen, if that latter scenario takes place, bringing in a consultant late, I imagine there's not a whole lot you can do, or can you still come in and try to fix things up as best as possible?
Well, obviously, once the bleeding has started, hopefully you can put some bandages on and try to be able to do it. But it's so much easier if you prepare for it.
Right.
And that way, you really do get what you paid for. And, what you're paying for is the goodwill and the patience.
Sure.
But again, just as you said, Dave, doctors don't get any of this training in dental school about how to make this happen. So they really need guidance. And I'll tell you a second situation that is actually more complicated is when an existing associate in your practice who's been working there is now entering into a partnership arrangement. And this is very complicated because there's a lot of legal, accounting, pension decisions. And the discussions that lead up to that partnership often can take 3 to 6 months. And here's the situation. You better get a lot of good advice because it's like a prenup. And I know that that may sound negative, but the divorce rate in dental partnerships, as I see it, is about the same as marriages. You know, Red Skelton, the comedian, said marriage is the number one cause of divorce. So, I mean, the same thing sort of happens in dental partnerships.
Right.
So you've got to prepare for that.
What about, you mentioned an associate that is ready to become a partner, but what about even something such as hiring an associate, knowing when you need to hire an associate and the actual hiring of an associate? I guess a consultant could be very beneficial in that, you know, that type of scenario?
Absolutely. A lot of times I discourage people from hiring an associate. They think they need one because they're too busy. But when you really do an analysis, a lot of times they're too busy, but they're not profitable. And if, in fact, you can introduce efficiencies into the practice, they really don't need an associate. But if, with efficiencies, and you're scheduled out maybe 3 weeks and you're getting a lot of new patients, obviously that might be a time to be able to bring someone in. A lot of people feel that if they can bring an associate in and can become a partner, that that's the role they want to take. That's the role I took with my associates who became partners. I've got to tell you, though, there's a lot of times these days where I'm advising practices not to offer partnerships because it's very, very costly in terms of what they're going to give up. You know, every situation is different.
Right, no question. And I'm thinking, as you're saying this, I'm thinking, this is probably so typical of the dental practice because let's say somebody's busy. It could even be in hygiene. They've got their hygiene is totally booked, and they're deciding, well, do I need another hygienist? Well, how do you really know? Maybe it's a scheduling thing. Maybe you do need another hygienist. Maybe the dentist is so busy that he or she thinks they need an associate. But again, maybe if some other things in the practice are changed, maybe they don't need one. What I'm trying to say is I think most dentists don't have the fundamental knowledge to figure that out by themselves. I certainly don't think I do, to be honest with you.
Well, if in fact you always put the customer service at the forefront of any dental practice, how would you want to be treated as a consumer? If you call up a practice and you can't get into their hygiene department for 2 months, or, yeah, we can give you a new patient, but it's going to be a new appointment, but it's going to be in 3 months.
I'd go call another dental practice.
Yeah.
No question about it.
So what you need to be able to do is to be able to offer that. I mean, you hear a lot of people say, well, you should be able to get a new patient in that day, or you should be able to open up your hours. I think some of that's a little bit over the top. But certainly you need to be able to be able to give good customer service, and you can't get into a situation where you're not taking new patients anymore. New patients are the lifeblood of any practice.
Absolutely
so
true. Yep.
It's all a matter of analyzing how efficient can we be, and there's a lot of factors that would have to be examined in order to be able to make those decisions.
Right.